hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Apostle Paul gives a crucial calling to the Christian pastor. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What a verse, isn't it? It literally means to suffer hardship with, and it's been translated like this. You must be willing to take your share of rough treatment. What in the world is he talking about? Well, we could put it this way. Because of all the blatant opposition to the truth and those who are defecting from it, you have to engage in the hardship of advancing the gospel at all costs. We don't think of serving this way. You know, I said yesterday, we really have no idea in the West of what suffering for Jesus means. You know, we see these Christians suffering in third world countries, and we sort of chalk up these suffering verses for them in the Bible. And I said yesterday, I have bad news. Physical suffering is a result of what? Well, people speaking out. Speaking out about what? What they believe. About absolutes, about rights and wrongs, and calling people to stop sinning and repent of certain lifestyles that do not honor Christ. And that's what it is. That's what we're doing. We're calling them and calling them out of their bondage and pleading with them to come into the light, to come to the light, who is Jesus, and they will have everlasting life. And I said yesterday, might it be that we simply on all levels as individual Christians and servants disengaged ourselves from this calling to take our share of rough treatment because we bought into the lie of tolerance, that God accepts anything and everything. He doesn't. In fact, 2 Corinthians 6 says very clearly, don't be deceived about this. And then he gives a long list of vices of which if people practice these things, they're not going to enter heaven. So we've got to be willing to speak the truth. And Paul's saying to Timothy, you must endure the hardship. Now that presupposes that if I want to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to engage in the warfare. And it presupposes that I could make the choice not to. Paul spoke of this man named Demas, who was obviously an elder type figure in the church, who labored with Paul until things got rough and then abandoned. I mean, there's a sad statement in 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, that just says it all. That is all contrasted with the reality of what serving in Christ's kingdom truly is. Paul says right in the next chapter, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. And I gave a good example of that yesterday with John the Baptist. Remember what John said to Herod? Herod had unlawfully taken Herodias. That was his brother Philip's wife. They had obviously gotten a divorce. Herod had married her, and John spoke about it because the law of God condemned it. Now, John could have avoided it. John could have said nothing. And outwardly, it would have kept the peace. I mean, it wouldn't have stirred the pot. No one would have been bothered except God himself, who has clearly said, my friends, don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and soul in hell. So John said what needed to be said, and well, he took his share of the rough treatment. He endured the hardship. His head ended up on a platter. Look, this is the reason Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy, we're not given the spirit of fear. You can't fear doing what's right. In fact, Timothy, verse 9, for the message of Christ, I'm suffering trouble as an evildoer to the point of chains, to the point of going to jail. What in the world brought that on? engagement in advancing and speaking God's truth, the whole counsel of God, not just the pieces we like, not just delegating it out. And I know this goes on today. People delegate out all the hard truths, pastors, to the small groups. That's not fair. You have the responsibility to do that. You're supposed to speak of sin, wrath, judgment, and gospel, good news, heaven, eternal life. You're supposed to speak of those things together. And we have to do that. We have to do that when those in darkness hate it. And the sad picture at the end of this letter, you know, for the Apostle Paul calling people to repentance and change, he was totally abandoned. Demas forsook him. He has no clothes, no books. This Alexander the coppersmith did him much harm. Then he says, look, at first offense, no one stood with me, all forsook me. No clothes, dead of winter, all forsook him. Why? Because he said they needed to put away their idolatry. Look, he is saying, understand, pastors especially, we are enlisted by God himself in a spiritual warfare, and we don't have to look for the conflict. You'll constantly be faced with it. Constantly, you will be faced with the devil taking snare the lives of people to do his will. Paul says that we have the responsibility to correct those who are in opposition if perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape. Now listen, escape the snare of the devil having been taken captive by him to do his will. Well, that's striking. The devil will actually take some captive to do his will, and we have to correct. It's good we all consider this today, because I'll never forget one pastor saying, life tragedies that happen to people and to their children will change their theology. So a man could have a strong position on something until his own daughter gets involved in it, or his own son, and then the truth is totally cast aside. How backwards! Our theology should always interpret life's tragedies, but often the reverse happens. Look, tragedies often affect people's theology. And how many stories have I heard of some prominent person in the church whose sons or daughter was involved in something bad? The God-appointed office bearers took a stand on the issue. They brought the word of God to bear on the issue. It caused a blow up in the church. The conflict escalates. The devil gains a foothold. And the conflict does untold damage as there is a mass exodus from the church. It's sad. The devil is really good at stuff like this. This is the heart of what we're dealing with here. When Paul says you've got to be willing to endure the hardship, engage in the conflict, being a good soldier and bringing the word of God to bear on these issues. And I'm thankful that God puts this in front of all of us to understand here. There is a hardship in the church. The average churchgoer just doesn't understand this. Here is what Paul is addressing. You're dealing with the messy lives of sinners. And Timothy, you're calling them to repentance and faith in Jesus. You're advancing a message of reconciliation. But to reconcile, you've got to show the problems. You've got to show that there's disharmony in a relationship between God and sinners, that sinners are actually enemies of God. And so it's easy to neglect the gift in us when things get hard, because we're all really pragmatic. We all really like to operate just on what works, instead of principle, instead of God's commands. And that's essentially all, again, about living by faith. You know, I believe a lot of sincere people hesitate to serve in Christ's kingdom because of this reason. They get into the church, they avoid their callings. And I say this to me first, you know, there's a pressure to avoid things. I know of a lot of pastors, as soon as they get older, I think, where did the fire go? It's like they've just disengaged. I always fear it's going to happen with me. You know, when my father was a basketball coach, he was a very successful basketball coach and at higher levels. And anyways, he was very successful. He was demanding and strict when he was younger. And then at the end, I thought, you know, he's gotten so much softer. And I guess that's just the pattern, I suppose. But that can't happen in the church. This is a clear analogy that people can get so tired of the warfare, they disengage. And all of this comes back to the issue and question of whom we are pleasing. Christians are always tempted to be men pleasers. Deep down, I'd love to please everyone who I minister to. You know, I love the people I serve dearly. But that's not my calling, to please them. Paul said that in Galatians 1, do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And I recognize that by the nature of the calling, that love won't always be reciprocated just because the nature of what we're doing. You know, I never forget one pastor telling all his students in seminary, you know, get ready. Before you preach your first sermon, 10% of the people won't like you. Just by the nature of what we're doing. Well, what is being said here and what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, and there's so many wonderful things in the ministry. This is the greatest blessing. There's no more higher of a calling to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we're doing here is understanding what the service is, what we're enlisting in. That's what we've got to understand. And what is being said today is this: we're engaged in a battle for souls. Eternal life of the sheep is what I'm fighting for. That's what I'm existing for. That's what God has called me to do. That the sheep that I preach to every week, I am preaching in such a way because I want to see every last one of them saved. And I want to see every last one of them in the kingdom. And I want to present every one of them, as Colossians 1 says, perfect in Christ. And Paul is saying this to all of us. We must endure hardship. We must be willing to speak the truth prayerfully and scripturally in a way that glorifies Christ. And let me just say, we have to be tender. We have to be humble in doing it. And that's something I'm always trying to work towards. But the hardship is going to happen. And it's for an elder or a pastor or somebody in the church to say, I don't want to deal with conflict, and avoid doing it, avoid calling a sinner to repentance, is like a gardener saying, I don't want to cut grass. It's the nature of what you're doing. And here Paul is outlining it. John Flavel once said, the labors of the ministry are fitly compared to the toil of men in harvest, to the labor of a woman in travail, and to the agonies of soldiers in the extremity of a battle. Well, we're going to pick up with this tomorrow. And I say this only to say that the great goal that we have is to bring reconciliation between God and man. That's why we're set apart. That's why we do this. That's why we endure the hardship. Paul's going to say here, I do this for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. May we all have strength to glorify Christ as we labor for the salvation of sinners.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.